And now live.
Hello, everyone. This is Rabbi Ben-Tzion Klatsko. It is an absolute honor to be part of this wonderful sheer enjoyment. I thank you very much to Jake Wyman for arranging this opportunity to speak to you. And I give a great big thank you and a warm, warm welcome to the Winniars family. Rabbi Dov Winniars was a dear friend of mine and a role model to me and to so many others who he touched with his chesed, with his giving, with his smile. Definitely, we miss him terribly. So I want to speak about today what the fact that we are secluded or quarantined, what that has done to our psyche as a people. It says, Rabos machshavos b'lev ish. We say it each day in the Yehi Chavod. A person has many, many machshavos. And often, machshavos are things that could be uncomfortable to think of. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov recommends an hour of Yisbodidus a day. Now, very few people do an hour of Yisbodidus a day. Yisbodidus means to meditate. What's my purpose in life? How close am I to fulfilling my tafkid, my purpose, my job, the thing that I was created for? Rabbos machshavos b'lev ish, to think, to meditate on what I'm supposed to be doing could be very uncomfortable. And here's why. When we are young, we have dreams and aspirations, goals and visions. We may be quite idealistic. We want to change the world. We want the world to be a better place. And then as we get older, we begin to notice our own failings, our own shortcomings. We see that we can't change what we thought we could. Things are not so simple. And that could lead a person towards something called yiyush. Yiyush is when we give up on those goals and aspirations and dreams. And the more yiyush, the more hopelessness sets in, the harder it is to move forward with any kind of growth in life. So what we do as a society is we don't meditate on these kind of thoughts. They're uncomfortable. I'd rather entertain myself. I'd rather pick up my phone and read another text message. And if I do have to get out there, rather than make an honest difference, I'd rather Photoshop a picture and put it out there so that at least everyone thinks that I'm a grand success. But then quarantine began. And with quarantine, many of us don't go to work. And we're at home and with our families and with our husbands and wives and children and with ourselves. And we begin to think a little bit deeper about all of those things that we brushed underneath the carpet. We didn't want to think about them. And now, because of the silence of the moment, the silence of the time, the eerie pall of sickness and death that we see in the news, we have these thoughts. What if it was me? And if it was, would I be ready to meet my maker? It could depress a person. And that's what quarantine does. In a certain way, it's forced hispodidus. It's forced meditation. We're forced to slow down a little bit. So my dear mother, I was speaking with her today on Zoom, and she said there are three reactions that people have to quarantine. Either they become fit, chunky, or drunk. Fit means we say, you know what? I could be better. I could do better. I'm going to start working on myself. And fit can mean in physical shape. It could mean mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm going to daven a little bit slower. I don't have a chazan rushing me. I don't have a bus or a train to catch. I'm by myself. There's no chazar sashat. That means we're not repeating Shemona Esrei. There's no Kriyas HaTorah. And so what's my rush? I could daven slowly, word for word, and finish the entire Shabbos davening in 1 hour, slowly, word for word. Well, as soon as I finish Shemona Esrei of Shacharis, I'm already up to Musaf. So why shouldn't I take this opportunity to daven a little bit slower, to learn a little bit more, to spend more time with my wife, with my husband, with my children? So there are some people who their reaction to quarantine is they become fit. They become fit. Others become chunky. The concept of chunky is we veg out. This is a dream come true for some people. Not only don't they have to go to work, there's no work to go to. And some people are even getting paid. So you can get paid not to go to work. And what does one need to do? Pretty much nothing. So you could sit on the couch, and watch Netflix, or surf the web, go on a YouTube spree following this channel or that channel. Eat. Don't work on oneself. And days turn into nights. I wake up at 11, 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Who knows? Days are nights. Nights are days. And that's a second reaction. And a third reaction, of course, is what we call the drunkard reaction. And that's the scariest reaction of all, where a person says, what's the point of any of this? So meditation that quarantine gives us is something that's very, very unique, because we're forced to think about life. We're forced to. Now, Jewish people think about life constantly. Every Yom Tov, we think about life. Think about it. On Purim, we think about how the Jews were going to be killed. In the end, the enemies of the Jewish people were killed. We're thinking about life and death. Pesach, well, we think about the plagues. We think about the Egyptians dying in the sea after the sea came back together. We think about the Jewish people who worked so hard and how their baby sons, the males, were thrown into the Nile River. Life and death. Even Shavuos, accepting the Torah, we're told that when the Almighty spoke Parcha Nishmasam, the Jewish people's souls leapt out of their bodies. So life and death are not things that Jewish people are not open about. We actually happen to be among the most open, speaking about the reality that death is all part of life. But we also say that there's a mission. And to think about it in a deep way is a very brave thing to do. So we have to go on to part two of this concept. Pardon me. Part two goes like this. Sometimes I feel awesome about myself, about my connection to Hashem, my connection to Judaism, my love for learning Torah. I have a beautiful, wonderful davening. I have a fantastic and welcoming Shabbat. But there are times that I feel not like that. And I'm not feeling that connected to Hashem. And I'm not in the mood of davening. And I'm not in the mood of sitting in front of a sefer and learning Torah. And what happens is we beat ourselves up. We say, you know what? I am somewhat schizophrenic about my connection to Hashem and his Torah. And maybe that's really who I am. Maybe I'm not so connected. And when we have our times when we get up late because of Corona, and we missed the time for Shema, and maybe even the time for Shemona Esrei. And it's hard for us to get our act together because we don't have a structure in our lives. We don't have the minyan when we're supposed to. We don't have the maybe going to a yeshiva or going to a seminary where I'm able to sit and study. And when that happens, I don't feel very good about myself. So I want to tell you something very wonderful and perhaps interesting as well. I'm grateful to my wife because about a half a year ago, she said to me, she said, "Ben Tzion, you know what we need outside? We need a grill." And I'm thinking, "Well, I don't need a grill. I'm, you know, thank God we enjoy our food." She says, "No, we have a grill at a moment's notice. We can turn on the grill, grill stuff up." So, you know, my wife wants it. We're going to get it. We got it. And turns out we use it all the time. Normally, you can throw a piece of chicken on the barbecue, on the grill, a hot dog. But if you're really, really feeling that you want to eat a big meal, you could go to the store, buy a kosher steak for $15-$20, throw it on the grill, and as legend has it, steak ranks right up there with the best foods that a person can eat. Now, if I were to ask many people, not vegetarians, but other people, "Do you enjoy steak?" the answer would be an absolute yes. So I want to tell you something very interesting. When a person eats a steak, do they have one thought, "I like steak"? It's not the way it is. Really, when you take a steak, there's a very mundane example. Very mundane, but I'll show you how we use this example for other things as well. When I take a steak and I throw it on the grill, that steak may get well done around the edges. The outside may become a little seared. The inside may be rare. The edges of the steak may taste better than the middle. And as I'm eating the steak, there are many thoughts that go through my mind. Should I put it on for longer? Should I have taken it off earlier? Does it need sauce? I'm enjoying the outside, but by the time I get to the inside of the steak, it's going to be cold. This part is good, this part is not. Really, a person can have 40 different thoughts when eating a steak. Some positive, like that first forkful right when you take it off the barbecue, it's delicious. To the last forkful that you have when the steak is already cold on your plate and you're just eating it because you don't want to waste it. And you're not feeling any kind of connection, any kind of enjoyment for like you did in the beginning. In other words, eating a steak, which is the most mundane act, can take you on a journey. This, I like this, I don't like this, it's burnt, this is rare, this is good, it's cold, it could use a little more sauce. 40 different thoughts I have when I'm eating the steak. Some of them are positive, and some of them, it just didn't live up to what I had hoped. I was dreaming of an amazing steak, and I left it on too long, and the inside got tough. Okay, the edges are good, the inside. So if eating a steak, which is the most mundane thing, you could have ups and downs, positive and negative thoughts. If I were to ask you, "Do you like steak?" you would say, "Yes, I do." But what about all those negative aspects to the steak? Maybe it made a mess. Maybe it cost more than your budget allowed for. Maybe your roommate came in and you have to give half to them. I mean, there's an infinite number of scenarios. So you would say, and I'm going to use a Hebrew expression, big adol. Big adol means in general. Big adol, in general, I enjoy steak. Okay, this steak was a little tough. This steak was oversalted. This steak, you know, didn't meet my optimal standard of a steak. But I enjoy steak. In that same way, everything in life has 40 ups and downs. So to know who you are, to know where you stand, you have to use the Hebrew word bigadol. Bigadol means, in general, this is my default position. Let's give you an example when it comes to a relationship. If I'm in a relationship, let's say I'm married. Thank God I am married, Baruch Hashem. Every moment of the marriage, do I feel like I am floating on cloud nine? Is that true? It's not true. I can tell you from being married. Married, it's going to be in a month. It's going to be 32 years. And there are some days that I'm feeling very in love and very grateful and very affectionate. And days where it's sort of, you know, going by road and we appreciate each other. There's no question. But there's no urge. There's no tremendous feeling. Sometimes we can even be annoyed at each other. We can be upset at each other. So our relationship has not 40 ups and downs, different 40 variations, and not even 400, maybe 4,000, maybe 40,000. Every day, every hour, and every minute of every hour, we assess and reassess, where am I in this relationship? Does that make me schizophrenic? Does that make me inconsistent? No. That's what experiences in life offer. They offer ups and downs. So who am I? What am I? What is my relationship? Let's go back to that Hebrew word, big gadol. I know the word gadol means big, but in Hebrew, when you say big gadol, you say in general, the word big gadol. So I say big gadol, in general, love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children. Big gadol, that's my default position. Yeah, there are times that children upset me. There are times that I'm disappointed. There are times when I'm not in the mood of watching their plays or cleaning up their messes or paying for their tuition. There's nothing wrong with admitting that. As long as I know that big gadol, in general, I love my kids. So there's ups and there's downs. If we understand this idea, then we wouldn't be afraid to meditate. We wouldn't be afraid of quarantine. You know why? Because rabos machshavos b'lev ish. We think many thoughts. And just like we think many thoughts when it comes to a piece of steak, and just like we think many thoughts when it comes to our relationships, we think many thoughts as well when it comes to our connection to Hashem, Torah, and Mitzvos. And we shouldn't be upset or disappointed with ourselves. We shouldn't knock ourselves down. We shouldn't criticize ourselves for that human element of experiences up and down. Sometimes on Shabbat, I'm feeling awesome, and sometimes I'm feeling lethargic. Sometimes I'm in the mood of learning Torah, and sometimes I'm not, even though I may have to open a sefer and study Torah anyways, but I'm not in the mood. Does that make me a bad person? No. You know why? Because big gadol, in general, I love Hashem. Big gadol, in general, I love His Torah and Mitzvos. That's my kivun, another good Hebrew word. That's my direction. That's where I am. If a person can say, in general, I love steak, I don't know if they use the word love, but people say, I love steak, I love sushi, I love. But what do you mean? Sometimes it disappoints. There are many different experiences. But in general, that's who I am. I enjoy steak. I love being married to my wife, even though there are plenty of times when I'm not feeling that tremendous love. But big gadol, in general, that's where my heart is. So that's where a person has to get to during this corona period. We have to understand that we have a very unique opportunity. And this is an opportunity to define ourselves and understand what our big goal is. Who are we in general? What is our kivun? What is our direction? What is our passion? And if our passion is kirvas elokim litov, being close to Hashem is good, that's where I want to be. If I can say, achasha altim eish Hashem, one thing I ask of the Almighty, shivti b'veis Hashem kol yamei chayai, I want to sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Okay, sometimes I sit, but sometimes I got to get up. Sometimes I need a breather. Sometimes I need a break. It doesn't make me a bad person. And it doesn't make me anyone who falls short on any level. Who tells us to feel bad about ourselves? So that's the Yetzer Hara. The evil inclination says, you think you're so good, you're fooling everyone. But you can't fool Hashem. Hashem really knows that your davening is not a davening. You're benching after you eat bread, and you say Berkat HaMazon, you rush through that. You know, when Chesed, there are kindness opportunities, you run the other way. You're not fooling Hashem. You may fool the rest of the world, but Hashem knows what you're all about. And when the day comes, you're going to get a lot of finger wagging at you. So this is what the Yetzer Hara says. The Yetzer Hara says, you can never be too big to make yourself too small. And that's how we are. But you're always greater than you realize. You're always more precious to Hashem. Hashem understands the tests of the world. It's not a mystery, it's not a secret how difficult and how challenging our world has become. We are bombarded with media news. The news cycle is there just to keep us clicking. We have to keep clicking and refreshing the news. What happened with Trump? What happened with Biden? What happened with Kim Jong-un? What happened with Corona? What happened with China? What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? But we know what's really going on. The news cycle is not that fast. They have to create an artificial news cycle so that you can click. Because if you click, then they can show their advertisers that you click, and they can charge the advertisers money, and they can make money. So they create an artificial news cycle so that they can get money from advertisers. But we don't realize that. We forget that. So instead, we go on this crazy roller coaster ride of news and the disasters that are happening. And we have to create, right now in the news, they're speaking about something called Asian murder hornets. I don't know if any of you have heard of that, but it's Asian murder hornets. These guys have been around forever. What happened? There was a slower news cycle. I guess Corona and people dying by the thousands is no longer newsworthy. So what do you need to do? You need to go on 2 days of speaking about the Asian murder hornet. The Asian murder hornet, which kills between 40 and 50 people in Japan every year. Of course, most of those people are... they're allergic to the venom, and it's an allergic reaction. And those same people who would have been allergic to these murder hornets would have been allergic to a bumblebee. It's the same thing. And while you're using the news cycle to speak about Asian murder hornets that kills 40 to 50 people a year, in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, in a half an hour, that many people died in America with coronavirus. But it's no longer clickbait because people get used to it. That's the scary part, that we can get used to refreshing the page and seeing the numbers of people who are dying and seeing the numbers of people who are ill, and it's no longer newsworthy, so we have to speak about the Asian murder hornet, or we have to speak about the new iPhone, because that's more click-worthy than it is people dying. But all this, my friends, is nothing but a distraction. Because the more distracted we are, the less time we have to think about life and to think about where we are and what are we doing. Life is what we make it. Life doesn't happen to us. We happen to life. And it's something that people forgot about. And maybe if there is a silver lining to the coronavirus, maybe that's what it is. And Hashem is giving us a wonderful opportunity to reappreciate our lungs, our eyes, our families, our jobs, our community, our friends, our ability to give a hug and to give a kiss and to give a handshake and to dance hand in hand in a circle. All those things that we took for granted. How many people at a chasana don't bother getting up? It's too much of a bother, but they'd be so excited to hold hands with the neighbor and to dance in a circle and not have to worry about germ transmission, virus transmission. So the battle rages. And the battle is for the minds and the hearts of those who are in quarantine. Will we become fit, chunky, or will we become drunk? Who are we? So I'm going to end with just a little bit of my own reflection. So I had coronavirus, very, very unpleasant. I had a very tough time breathing. Hatzalah, which is the paramedics, Jewish paramedics, came to my house 3 times. So it was a very scary time for me. Baruch Hashem, I'm walking around now. I even went in to get tested, hoping that I would test negative. I'll find out in 3 days. But it's been a very long haul. It took about 6 weeks to get to this point. So what are some of the things that I've been meditating on? I've mentioned a few of them. One is davening. Let's take this opportunity to daven slower. We don't have buses to catch, nor trains. We have the ability to stand by ourselves and daven a proper Shemona Esrei. If we had been in shul, maybe we would have had to stand through the chazan repeating it. But now we're not in shul, so we can say it. We could daven Shemona Esrei twice as long, because that's how long it would have taken. Number two, Torah learning. All these wonderful opportunities that I say I don't really have the time or the patience to sit and learn Torah. I'm a very busy man. I can't do it. So instead, I don't open the Sefer. So now I have the opportunity to open a Sefer. I have the opportunity to learn Torah. Let me take great advantage of that. Number three, take care of yourself. Many of us have pushed off fitness and making sure you have a good heart and losing a little bit of that weight, being a little more alert. Well, you have that opportunity. You can now walk around. You can walk perhaps with your wife, with your kids. There's an opportunity to look at the scale and say, you know what, I'm going to work on myself. I have no time to go to the gym. You don't need a gym. You just need 2 pair of legs and a little bit of motivation. And the last thing is, now is the time to reintroduce yourself to your family. Reintroduce that relationship that maybe you were so busy before that you didn't have the time, you didn't have the energy to give them the time, and you thought you were doing a good job. I'll tell you guys something. I have a daughter. I thought, she's a very popular young lady, lots of friends. So I thought I was giving her adequate time. I have a lot of children. And during Corona, she confided to me that she did not feel that she had gotten enough time with me. And I felt bad, but I said, you know what, let's spend time every day. And we made up a time that we're going to spend together. We're going to get to know each other. We're going to perhaps walk together, speak together, just one-on-one time. That's very important. Let's become fit. Let's not knock ourselves, not beat ourselves up when we have these conflicts of feelings inside of us. Really big or dull, we want to connect to Hashem. Big or dull, we love our Judaism. Big or dull, we love our families. Big or dull, we want to feel better about ourselves physically. We want to get back on track, and what an opportunity. It's right now. Rabos machshavos b'levish. Many thoughts are in the heart of man. Va'atzas Hashem hisakum. But Hashem's counsel will stand, and it'll stand forever. I want to be on that winning side. I really appreciate that everyone spent the time listening to these words of Torah and inspiration. I give you each a blessing that you should not just survive but thrive in this corona era. You should come out the other side more focused, less critical of yourself, but more demanding that you become the best version of you. Thank you so much.